The second passage comes to us from 1 John 1, 5 through 7. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. So the two passages touch on the various dimensions of Christ's identity, with a text from the Gospel of John focusing on the experience of the first converts. John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God. Andrew calls Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One, while Nathanael calls him the Son of God and the King of Israel. The characterizations are, of course, not mutually exclusive, as Jesus is all of these all at once. I am reminded of the closest of something similar in the closest of human relationships. A spouse is a best friend, confidant, supporter, advisor, life partner, and so forth, each facet amplified based on the context. Likewise, in our needs as humanity, Jesus is there for us, a healer in our sickness, a comforter in our pain, a savior in our sinfulness. These names symbolize God's grace, mercy, and care over us, and the revelation of his various character is all the more profound and personal over the course of our faith journeys. In other words, God's character resonates all the more deeply within us when it is experienced. At that point, a name is no longer just a name, but a lived-out reality. Speaking of experience, one of my favorite parts in the Experiencing God course is the spiritual marker exercise, in which we get the opportunity to look back on and map out the milestones in our lives that prove to be particular inflection points in our faith journeys. Over the course of group sharing, you'll notice that the names and attributes given to the Lord are as varied as the spiritual experiences of each person. One who receives supernatural provision may have a particular affinity for Abraham's invocation in Genesis 22. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Another who received divine healing from sickness may resonate deeply with the experience of the Israelites in Exodus 15. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you, which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer, Jehovah Rapha." The spiritual marker exercise and other such meditations are edifying in the way they refocus us on God's character, faithfulness, and hand in our lives, bringing comfort and reassurance, especially in times of difficulty. At the same time, it's important to remember that the Lord is not boxed in by our past experience. While he is constant yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he is also, as Paul describes in Ephesians, able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The Lord's faithfulness in our past can be a source of confidence, but he promises greater things and revelation in our future. As I reflected on this morning's text, I was called in particular to the passage from the first epistle of John, which declares that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This calls out another facet of Jesus' identity, which he states himself in John 8:12. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." At present, I feel the Lord convicted me in two respects on this front. First, the recognition of Christ's identity as the light of the world, and second, what it means to walk in that light. There's a lot going on in the world today, and it seems like there's so much darkness everywhere we look. Lives have been lost and upended as war rages through Ukraine, the Middle East, and elsewhere. The pandemic continues to be a global reality with mounting cases and fatalities and families separated by circumstance. Closer to home, Hong Kong's COVID situation appears to be taking a turn for the worse. People are getting sick, losing jobs, and being displaced with no apparent end in sight. Through all of that, I am thankful to the Lord. He's been so good and faithful to myself and my family He has protected, provided, and cared for us. But I confess that in my human weakness, I have struggled mentally with the context at large. My mind has turned to dark places, worries about my family, our three young children especially, and what the future has in store. It was all too easy to place trust in the works of human hands and institutions to bring about the change that we need. Intellectually, I understood that Jesus is the light of the world, where we can ultimately find refuge and hope. But I found difficulty in centering myself daily on that truth and not resorting to the solutions of the world. In my internal struggle, God gave me a verse from Matthew 16. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who did they say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." It was God's way of reminding me that I lost touch of the spiritual reality of what it means to seek him. For all my quiet time and scriptural reading, I was going through the motions by attempting to grasp knowledge with my own strength and leaving out the crucial piece of laying myself down in surrender and letting the Spirit bring forth revelation. In unpacking this download, I was led to another verse from 1 Corinthians. "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." It was a good wake-up call for me as a believer not to operate as the world does, seeking comfort and trusting in human works as a solve for my anxiety. Rather, I have the precious gift to be awake to the spiritual and to understand how God is moving amidst the darkness to bring lasting light. The second point in which I felt convicted was the notion of walking in the light, especially as the passage from 1 John states, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." This gets at the nature of God's light and our relationship with him. There is a twofold intertwined thing that happens, an internal transformation of fellowship with the light and an external overflow of walking in that light. With what's going on in the world these days, I'm personally being challenged this season to look beyond my own self and to be aware of those that are hurting around me, particularly those that do not yet know the Lord and the hope he brings. As believers, we are in a position to be ambassadors of that light and hope, as Jesus puts in Matthew 5. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." God's light and his hope isn't self-centered, but outward-facing. It's not only for us, but for us to witness unto others. This doesn't mean that we deflect from our own issues or minimize our own pain. At the end of the day, we are all broken and in need of a Savior. What it does mean is that the two things are not mutually exclusive, that God can work to transform and renew us daily, even as he places and equips us to help those around us. Walking in the light can mean different things for different people as we run our own individual race. We're each unique in a position, calling, our families, workplace, the people we interact with on a daily basis, or the specific burdens God has placed in our hearts. The important thing is that we remember to ask the Lord how we can be there for those that are hurting, especially in these times of darkness. With that, I'd like to invite Sterling to lead us in a time of worship. As we go through that time of worship, let's pray for God to reveal more of himself to us, especially the hope that we have in him. Let us also pray for the Lord to open our eyes and hearts to the pain of those around us and how we can come alongside and be the light in a dark world.
Step down into darkness. darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, you're altogether worthy, you're altogether wonderful to me. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became born. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, you're altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, you're altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Now, coming alongside the in the One app, let's intercede for our city. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for those you have put in authority over us, whether in government, the workplace, or in our families. We pray for wisdom and justice to prevail among all those who make decisions on our behalf. Help us as we seek to serve godly leadership. Give us hearts of servants, remembering above all that you and our ultimate Lord and Master. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's now go into a time of community prayer. for those who are battling cancer and who are undergoing treatments. Let's lift them up and pray that the Lord's healing hand would be upon them in this difficult time. Let's pray for those who are undergoing, going through different non-cancer related illnesses, and pray especially for them to know the Lord and that there would be salvation, that they would be able to have a hope beyond this life, and that they would see things through the eternal. Let's pray. Let's pray for various infirmities that are plaguing some of the some of our members of our community, particularly those that are battling cancer. Just pray for swift recovery, for the Lord to really just be upon them and to bring forth healing. Let's pray for those in our community that are looking for jobs. We pray that that the Lord would open up doors, that the Lord would open up opportunities within their midst, and above all, that their faith and confidence would increase in this time of uncertainty. Let's pray. Let's go into our prayer focus today. Let's pray for our missions, specifically our Singapore mission with SPSG, with PSAM Kim, with what that community is doing over there, with Indonesia, with SPIN, led by Pastor Salamat, and with the Philippines, with SPIL, with P. Ernie. Just pray for God's guidance and leading in each of those ministries. Let's pray for our education ministry, SP Kids, led by Lisa. Just pray for that discernment and wisdom and how best to lead this new generation with SPU, with Donald and SPU and P. Andrew as well. Just pray for really just that discernment and relationship to really be strengthened across the different members of that community. Let's pray. Let's pray over the prayer and healing ministries with the IP led by Matt, the well led by Sarah, and the river led by Rachel. Just pray for really just a leaning over the Holy Spirit. Just pray that they would be sensitive into what God is leading them in these particular ministries, and really just that supernatural confidence in the Lord's ability to be able to bring forth wisdom and healing for our community. Let's pray. Let's pray for outreach ministries, local outreach with Agape, HOMI, SP Lights, Bridge, and Recreation, and evening outreach with SP Lights and HOMI Outreach, especially in this difficult time for the city. Let's just pray for strategies for the leading of the Spirit as to what God really wants for each of these outreach ministries, and just pray for opportunities to open up, to be able to love on those that are in the city. And yeah, just pray also for opportunities to open up for the wider community at SP to take part and really just be the lights in this dark moment in our city. Let's pray. Let's pray for the pregnant women of this house, Hazel, Joan, Kaman, Fiona, Audrey, Leslie, Dionne, Winnie, and others. Pray for just the Lord's protection, especially in these times where COVID really is rising, as the numbers are, a number of cases are really rising. Just pray for protection over these children that are precious in the Lord. Just pray also protection from any other illness or any complication that may arise. I just pray also for confidence and faith that God really would see them through this particular season. Let's pray. Let's pray for the house churches that will be meeting today. Cullen and West, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Ventress. And I just pray that even as we go into a Zoom call, house churches and whatnot, that there would really be a strong connection, that the Spirit would really just be present in each of the rooms that people dial in from, and that there would really be community building in spite of the distance. Let's pray. Yeah, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time together, Lord God. We thank you that you are moving in our midst, Lord God, in this city. And we just thank you, Lord God, that we have a hope in you. Just pray that you continue to speak to us in our spirits and in our hearts. Soften us, Lord God, to your leading in wherever we're placed in our lives. And we just pray that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, Lord God, the light of the world. And we just, we just thank you for just the gift of community, Lord God. We just pray that you would also give us a leading, Lord God, on how to be there for one another in this period, Lord God. And we just lift up the rest of this day to you. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, thank you for joining. And have a great rest of your quiet time and have a great rest of the day.